There she is. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. Susie Sunshine, as she's known right here on the 720 WGN. Although, when you hear her on these other stations, and I found on networks and other stations and other places, she was just on Chicago Tonight this week, wasn't she?
Saw that.
Something like that. Were you on that? Weren't you on that?
I was.
Yeah.
Do we consider that cheating on us, or do we just sort of allow
No, not at all. It's we're all, you know.
It's an open relationship.
It's an open relationship. That's very modern.
We're educating the world about finance, which is so important.
Is it okay if we still get jealous when we hear you on the other stations?
Oh, of course. You just make me feel good. Thank you, Anna.
We do love you.
That's very nice.
We do love you.
All right. All right, easy now. Okay, now let's. All right, so the Dow is up. You just heard it in the news. Actually, it's kind of interesting. The Dow's up, you know, just under 100 points today, and so one could imagine, if the history is any guide for tomorrow, that we might see a tweet from the president about that.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Now that he's president, it's really, you know, it's all me, pal. But let's talk about some of the economic realities of what confronts here. Mm-hmm. And I think the most interesting piece is that he had 10 things that he was promising going into today that were going to happen, whether it's today or Monday, depending on how. I'm not quite sure what to read here. You're hearing it both ways from the Trump administration now about whether he's going to actually sign executive orders when he gets to the White House, or he's going to wait until Monday, or is it just a whole weekend of partying? And you never know, because I think they are intentionally misdirecting about that. But among them is, and let's start with this, sending letters to announce that the United States intends to withdraw from the TPP negotiations and from NAFTA. Now, the state of Illinois alone has 1.7 million jobs related to, in some way, shape, or form, international trade. If he is to announce tariffs or, you know, some sort of border tax or whatever it happens to be, those are the kinds of corporations employing those and companies employing those people that are going to, you know, certainly going to want to weigh in on that. How is the market thinking about this at the moment, do you think?
Well, right now, the market is in this choppy phase. So we haven't seen the market really move one way or the other for the past couple of weeks, because the market is now anticipating the Trump presidency. They want to hear details about what are some of these plans. As you said, we're getting sound bites of what's being leaked out, but it's very superficial information right now. There's no detail behind it. Trade issues are always important to the market, and they're waiting to see how this plays out. We're looking, as an example, at Brexit, who has made a huge difference and change in their anticipated trade program by trying to withdraw from the EU, right? That's what Brexit is all about. And that's caused a lot of disruption in their economy. The market isn't acting as if they're anticipating that much disruption here in the U.S. economy, but what they are anticipating is an opening of discussion around the different trade flows and how this is going to be accumulating both in exports and imports across the country and how that impacts our companies. It's still a mess. We don't have any clarity. The market doesn't know. And I think that's why you're seeing this uncertain chop. We're not going up. We're not going down. We're just holding steady here until we get a little bit more detail. And then the market can try to figure out how that's going to impact corporate earnings.
You know, there's something else that happened right after he took the oath. Some astute observers on the internets decided that they were looking at whitehouse.gov and some things went missing, such as the mention of the words climate change, LGBT issues. That page was removed. I think something about civil rights was replaced. But then he also added economic growth planned of 4% per year was what he plans, with lower taxes and less regulations. Is that achievable? Does that surprise you, Susan Schmidt?
4% a year, if he's talking about GDP growth, it's achievable. It's going to mean that there's got to be some fiscal stimulus. So we need government spend to get there, and we really need to push our economy into a higher gear than it's been in the last couple of years. And so it's interesting, because when he talks about that, remember that the big three pieces of reform that the market is looking at and saying this is what could help. So tax reform, deregulation, and infrastructure spend, all of those things need to get approved by Congress. And so that is going to be a big discussion. That's not something that a presidential order can just fix and change on Monday. And so the market is looking at this and taking a look at that 4% number and trying to go back and reconcile that with what do we think will happen when Congress gets involved in the discussion. And I think that's where this plays out. And I anticipate that the market stays in this never-never land for the next several weeks, if not months, as they wait to hear and get detail on what type of fiscal stimulus and what kind of government spend might actually get through this plan, because that's what's going to spark us into a better trending economy.
All right. You know what I just heard right there?
What'd you hear?
What I just heard was I think you get this when economists and market analysts get together. I heard a little hedge. That's why they call them hedge funds, I think. Heard a little hedge. I happen to believe that 4% growth is based on the growth that we've had thus far and the and the recovery, though slower than I think a lot of Americans would wanted it to have been. It was still positive, right?
Yeah. Anna's question wasn't, is 4% great or good? And it certainly would be. It's, can we get to 4%?
Right, right. And I know. And,
it was higher at the high end of what the previous goals his administration had forecasted.
And by the way, the 4% number is the only way he gets to being deficit neutral. And that's the thing, based on his cuts. So he's going to ask for that to be able to appease. He's going to say that's what he's going to get, to be able to appease the debt hawks and deficit hawks that are out there, the budget hawks, that the Grover Norquists of the world who, you know, are watching him, you know, sort of with a jaundiced eye. So he has got to be he's got to come up with something. I think 4% is you know, pretty optimistic. And even though the economy, a lot of people in the economy said, listen, if you deregulated, if you took the grips of government off some businesses and let them just build, it would have gone faster. And perhaps that is true. The other piece of this, and I'd like to get your comment on this. And I know that we're a little late here because of all the action of today, but there's a natural cycle occurring here, right? I've heard other economists talk about this. As a matter of fact, I heard this on the Chicago Tonight piece that I saw you on Monday night, is that, you know, at some point we've had 8 years of growth. We don't really have uninterrupted growth for 8 years at a time without a recession at some point and just a pullback, you know, or corrections or whatever it happens to be. And so if we are in time for one of those, that will have little to do with economic policy and more just to go with the ebb and flow of an economy.
Right, of a natural business cycle. Now,
right.
I will caution you here and say that, yes, 8 years does seem to be a longer than normal period where we've had an upswing in the economy, which is what it may not feel great, but we have been slowly trending upward as we've come out of the recession. What's different about this cycle, and where most economists and market watchers are confused, is that we haven't had this backdrop of exceptionally low interest rates for this long. So with lower interest rates, it seems to have extended out the cycle, and so it's prolonging the time period. So 8 years in this case may not be, you know, the point where we say, oh, it's about to end any minute now. With the lower interest rates, that's very supportive of business. We potentially are seeing a change in tax policies, also very supportive of business. And then deregulation, infrastructure spend, again, all the sound bites there are very positive for the economy. So with that low interest rate backdrop, that's what makes this cycle very different and very hard to call, because it doesn't feel like anything else we've experienced.
But as those interest rates tick up, if they do, does it make it more difficult to grow that GDP and get to that number, or not related?
Well, the difference between nominal and real. So nominal GDP is the actual number. Real is inflation adjusted. As interest rates go up, that's actually a good sign. The Fed has been holding off on increasing interest rates because they've been worried about the strength in the economy. They haven't seen a lot of natural upward trend in prices, which is what we refer to as inflation. So the fact that interest rates are now going up, we are starting to see some upward trend in prices. That's generally a sign of optimism and positive thought about the economy, where people are willing to spend. We need that to get people out there spending, more money circulating. That's what gets us to that 4% GDP growth.
Right.
So in moderation, upward ticking interest rates are actually a positive indicator of what's going on in the economy.
Right. And as I mean, there are different ways of looking at this. The Dow's up 150% over these last 8 years, but real wages have stagnated. And in real wage stagnation, that's where people actually feel it in their pocketbook and they're unhappy
and
about
spending,
it.
Right.
And if unemployment is certainly down, but then you've got the disaffected unemployed. If you had more jobs available, then the wages would go up in essence because people would be competing over the workers. That is the theory. Am I right about that?
That is right.
Close enough. Thank you very much.
Bro, you've been doing your homework.
Econ 101, listening. Baby. That's how I did it. Oh, I called you baby, just like he called Kellyanne Conway last night. Oh, that was bad. I apologize, Ms. Sunshine, for that. All right. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas, Texas, where she emanates today. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Susan.
It.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All
Thanks,
right.
You too.